This is NPR.
Thanks, Allison. The U.S. government has declassified a Justice Department memo from 2003 that allowed the Army at the time to use harsh interrogation techniques. The 81-page document also lays out sweeping wartime powers for the president. Here's NPR's Ari Shapiro.
The public has seen memos that authorized the CIA to conduct harsh interrogations, but this is the first time we've seen the legal analysis that Army interrogators relied on for harsh interrogations. The 81-page memo says military interrogators are not bound by laws and treaties banning torture because the president's wartime powers trump those rules. Jamil Jaffer is with the ACLU, which fought for the memo's release.
I think the whole point of this memo is to remove any possible legal constraint on the interrogation of prisoners.
The document was written by former justice official John Yoo and sent to the Pentagon's top lawyer, William Haynes. It was rescinded 9 months after it was issued, and the Army has since explicitly outlawed many of the interrogation practices that the memo said were okay. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
President Bush is pressing NATO allies to keep the door open to former Soviet states to join the alliance and step up the fight in Afghanistan. Bush is in Bucharest during his last NATO summit. He gave a speech in Bucharest today at an ornate bank.
We need to take the words of the enemy seriously. The terrorist threat is real, it is deadly, and defeating this enemy is the top priority of NATO.
Along with Afghanistan, Bush talked about missile defense, Iraq, and the fight against al-Qaeda. Bush is also lobbying allies to expand the alliance by inviting in Croatia, Albania, and Macedonia. And he wants to give former Soviet states like Ukraine and Georgia a path towards future membership. Back at home, the U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly to take up a bill to help out thousands of homeowners who are facing foreclosure. Here's NPR's Brian Naylor.
In a rare show of bipartisanship, Democratic and Republican Senate leaders agreed to put aside their differences and come up with a measure that will provide assistance to homeowners and communities hard hit by the housing crisis. The agreement was announced just before the Senate voted on whether to take up a Democratic-authored housing plan, which Republicans had blocked in February. But Republicans dropped their opposition after Democrats agreed to draft a new bipartisan measure. Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd will be among those writing the new bill.
Inaction is not an option. Failure is not an option. And what we're going to propose here, we hope, will be a positive and constructive set of ideas.
The Senate could begin debating the new bill by midday Wednesday.
NPR's Brian Naylor reporting. A handful of lawmakers also weighed in on the Beijing Olympics this year. 15 U.S. House members asked President Bush to cancel his plans to attend the Games this summer because of China's human rights record. The call follows comments from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who earlier said Bush should boycott the August 8th opening ceremony. And when it comes to life in the U.S., Manhattan is the exception to the rule in a lot of ways. Tack another one onto the list. While housing prices languish in the rest of the country, buying an apartment in Manhattan is more expensive than ever. The average price of an apartment here in the first 3 months of this year was $1.7 million, up 33.5% from the same period last year. That's according to real estate firm Miller Samuel. Experts say sales of some big-ticket properties skewed the average, but even as prices skyrocket, as everywhere else, sales are slowing. That's the news. It's always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.
I feel like such a smarty pants that I bought my apartment 11 years ago.
You are smart.
My friends all made fun of me that I was being like an old lady.
Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now? Sitting on my couch with my big TV. Anyway, all right.